It's 9 o'clock Mountain Time. It's Monday, December 7th, a date which will live in infamy. 2020 will live in infamy, actually. So, Tom Eagleoff, your morning mayor in the house, Shane Matabin, half man, half amazing, in Vancouver, British Columbia, making this a truly international talk show. And need to remind you folks that we are on every weekday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. Please share that with your friends. We'd like to grow an audience here. And we are also on every Saturday from 8 to 11 Mountain Time on the radio. You can hear us anywhere in the world, KMMSAM.com. And you don't have to sign up for anything. You don't have to join anything. You don't have to leave any information. All you got to do is click listen now and listen. And if you missed any of our past shows, they're all at KMMSAM.com. Click on Tom and Shane's podcast and share that with your friends as well. And, of course, if you're watching us on YouTube, please subscribe and ring the little notification bell. That will let you know when we're going to be on. And don't forget to like us and comment. Leave a comment at Facebook or YouTube. Really likes comments. They like that stuff. So there we are. Well, I got a few folks coming in, Shane. So let's get underway here, I guess. And first story is Bill Barr might be quitting before Trump leaves office. He's kind of been embattled here by not acting on Trump's wishes for them to investigate elections and other stuff. So are his days numbered, you think, Shane?
Well, whether he quits before the 20th or the 20th comes and he's replaced, it's pretty much the same thing. If he leaves early, it's just trying to put a stick in Trump. And quite honestly, I think the guy's great. I thought he was pretty reasonable, but he's like Ray, didn't do anything. Yeah. You know, he's like the elf from Alabama that was the attorney general before him, didn't do anything.
Yeah,
and I just find it very sad in a country like yours, because you know we see that in this country all the time. The huge shenanigans going on in Canada right now with our prime minister. Now all the PPP relief that Canadians got for COVID this year, small business people with private businesses, he's demanding they pay it back before the end of the year. Yeah. He wants the money back before the end of the year. These and are people who've gotten open. Anywhere from five. Well, yeah, exactly. Not. Yeah. And they've gotten like between $5,000 and $10,000, and he wants them to pay back the sickness of what's going on in the upper class, the educated class, the elected class, whatever class you want to call them. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the game is. I don't know what the end game is. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know why they're doing it. It doesn't make much sense to me. I don't see an end to any of it.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't. It looks like Biden's going to keep Ray around. Sounds like, so whoever he picks for attorney general, will probably be another left-hand loser. Certainly no one that's going to go after Hunter.
They'll go after the Trump.
Yeah.
No, but they'll go after the Trumps and they'll go after the Trump family, and they'll go after Republicans. You know, they do attack.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Republicans don't. It's just that's just you're the game, you know.
Yeah. No, I think they'll go after a couple of folks there. Go ahead. We have an overlap, you know.
I'm done.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know that. I think the Republicans think they're righteous, and you know that they should only do good. And we already know what the Democrats are about, and what basically is pretty clear. Mm-hmm. You saw the burning of your cities this year for what, 5 months, 4 months? We watched it. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
And what did Barr do? Nothing. Mm-hmm. Trump tried to have the Insurrection Act put in, which he should have. We went over that earlier in the year, how many Johnson used it five times. I mean, at every president in the last 40 years has used it all the way back to Kennedy, to Eisenhower. And, you know, the guy that he had in as the Secretary of Defense, you know, he wouldn't do it. And he came out and said he was against, you know, the Insurrection Act. So, yeah, it's you got a big mess on your hands. Not you, but your country is in a big mess.
Yeah, you're right. See, Craig says a laptop hoax disappeared right after the election. Imagine that. Well, that's certainly true. It's pretty well gone. And I'd agree with Craig on that one that, I don't think anything is going to happen from that. That laptop is just going to go back to Hunter or go to Biden or go to somebody. And I don't think it gets going anywhere. And as we know, Clapper and all that group they're not going to go anywhere. Investigation of those folks isn't going anywhere. So, it's kind of a moot deal with this whole 4-year investigation deal. Everything that's come up is pretty well gone.
Yeah, the Biden computer is either going to go to the Smithsonian Institute's new building. You know, they have 17 in Washington, D.C., and the new building is there's nothing here. You know, they might as well have, you know, building there, Smithsonian for that. Or, you know, it's going to go into the Library of Congress, and they're going to put it right next to the, you know, Midsummer Night's Dream. You know, why not? I mean, it's... You know, there's got to be a title that could be appropriately sat, you know, put in the racks by. And Americans know all this. They know what's gone on. They know what's going to, you know, they see who Biden's picking. They know where this is going. This isn't going to be a big surprise to anybody. If it is, they're pretty stupid. You know, that's just all there. You know, that's it.
Yep, that's where we're headed. No question about that. I guess we'll find out. Let's see. We have a GOP lawmaker that wants to target dead voters with "You Must Be Alive to Vote" Act. Representative Brian Babin, a Republican of Texas, has introduced the "You Must Be Alive to Vote" Act. So everyone in Congress should want an insurance that dead people are not voting. And that's been going on probably since forever, Shane. Nobody keeps death certificates and voter registration together. you don't notify the voter registration when someone dies.
Well, the extension, you know, from the great book is about to, you know, start reoccurring in the United States. So, you know, because now the thing mailing out all these ballots, you know, there'll be more and more of this where dead people vote because, you know, they probably sold their home or if they were renting before they died, someone else has moved in. So they'll get a mail-in ballot in someone else's name. They won't rip it up and throw it away or return it. They'll open up, fill it out, sign it, send it back. I mean, that's just what's going to happen. So joke, ha, ha, ha. But, you know, it was an amazing weekend. You know, you had a number of stories that were rather interesting, but you had the debate last night in Georgia. Yeah. You had the rally Saturday night in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And it's one of these things that you look at and you realize that even in a ghost fight, you know, Trump still can rally the troops and create a better or bigger crowd than, you know, people have seen in the likes of ever in your country, which is sort of interesting. Although you can go back and there's actually some video. There's some very old black and white video of Teddy Roosevelt's rallies. He had some pretty good ones, you know, back when he was with the Moose Party. But the point is that the people that voted for Trump, he's created this party, basically. They're not going away. You know, they're really not. Yeah. I think that's pretty evident. So we'll see how that carries on. And then the other side of that, that gal from Georgia that's running for the Senate, she was pretty good.
Kelly Loeffler.
She sounded very good. And you all knew when you left after listening to them for an hour that her opponent is a left-wing progressive socialist, because she said it like 14 times in an hour. Right?
He was pretty much dead meat after that was done. So, but
Well, and he never bought it.
He didn't deny it either.
And then he had the oranges to when asked about packing the court, he said, "Nah, it's not something I'm concerned about. Mm-hmm. I have other things to be concerned about." Really? Like, this is probably one of the most important aspects of the election, right? Is being able to pack the court, and you don't have an opinion on it, whether you're for it or against it.
Yeah,
you know, it's like that. Remember that senator from West Virginia, what's his name, said, "I'm not going to get rid of the filibuster and I won't vote for packing the court." Manchin,
yeah.
And, you know, like 3 weeks ago, he comes out and he says, "I'm a, you know, middle of the road Democrat." And I commented when he said that. He said, that's purely about the Georgia runoff. You know, it's just politics. So, you know, people will feel comfortable to vote, you know, Democrat. Of course, they're going to get rid of the, you know, they're going to pack the court if they can get rid of the filibuster, right?
If they can, they, I think they probably will. So, well, the other thing, you know, with this morning, there was a Democrat from Georgia, House Democrat, I think, who came out and encouraged people to vote Republican because the party has gone the wrong way, in his opinion. You know, he's still going to be a Democrat, but he feels the party is turning socialist, communist, whatever, and is encouraging people not to give the Senate to the Dems. And, you know, can't blame him.
Well, you've already seen unrestricted government in your country. It's so far been, a crossover. Trump, the first 2 years, had the House, the Senate, you know, but Ryan wouldn't do diddly. I mean, he was he hated Trump. He was a no-Trumper. So, you know, the only thing that he did get done was the tax deal. He didn't get anything else that he wanted, immigration or any of these other things, which he could have. He had control of both houses.
Yeah.
So the margin of control now in the House is so small. I mean, if you had three Democrats to change parties, the Dems lose the House. Yeah, it's like that's how close it is. So,
anything
can happen.
Biden's going to have to be very careful of what he tries to do and how he tries to do it with that narrow margin in the House, particularly if it's got any money attached to it, because all money bills start in the House. So it's got to, you know, it's got to be palatable for both sides. And that's going to be his, I don't think he's going to come up with anything, but whoever his handlers are that are going to come up with what to do. It's going to be kind of an interesting 2 years before the midterm election. So,
well, so much has changed too in the politics of your country. It's taken a long time for it to happen. Principally the funding side of things. Yes, the House is responsible for money, you know, authorizing the expenditures of money and oversight of that money. And the Senate's there to keep the temperature between the executive branch and the legislative branch at a minimum, you know, so they're there to compromise with the House to get it done so the Senate or the president will sign it.
Right.
But when it comes to the responsibility, like requiring funding for something, that's supposed to come from the president. It's not supposed to come out of the speaker's office.
No.
Individuals can make application or file what's called a Rudified amendment, where they go out and there's a mailbox up there, you know, a suggestion box in the House floor, you know, you drop it. And, no, you hand it to one of the young ladies that are up there, and then they move it through the system, and it's how it's a law that you want to propose, you know. But the whole thing with the budget and the funding of the government, that's supposed to all start with the executive branch. It doesn't anymore. So, you know, it is sad because it's a great document. It's a great system. And for a reason of political power, political design, whatever you want to call it, it's just been abused. And it's regrettable. I truly believe that Trump was trying to get back there. I think he really was. And woe for the American people, because he was a populist president. And they're the only ones that ever really get anything done, are populist presidents in the history of your country. In 100 years, if you look at it, I see Nixon as a populist president. I really do. You know, in 68 in this, and again in 72, Reagan was a populist president.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, let's see what happens. Yeah.
That's for sure. Well, moving down the line, Rudy Giuliani hospitalized after testing positive for COVID, and this happening just after he finally won a court case in Michigan. Shane, they are going to they are going to do some forensic looking at the voter machines, and if that is suspect, then that has to contaminate all of the other voting machines. If they find a discrepancy here. So that depends on what happens. And that could really throw a wrench in things. I don't think it's going to be any kind of a wrench that's going to change the outcome of the election. But, you know, they could show machine error or something like that, which would make all the machines suspect, even in the states that Trump won. So, you know, it's I think it's too little too late, but we'll see what happens with that as that lawsuit moves forward and they do a forensic of these machines.
Well, it opens two paths again for Trump. The first path, you know, he's been pursuing, and that is the legislatures will elect electors for him and not Biden. And so if he can convince through these three or four states, they shouldn't give split the vote.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, gets to the Supreme Court and has the Supreme Court vacate, you know, any ballots after election day when it, you know, when the polls close. Yeah. Supreme Court has overall absolute control to say, no, the Constitution says election day, doesn't say election week, doesn't say election month. It says election day. So as far as I am, as a Supreme Court member, Associate Justice, election day was the 3rd of November. Whatever the state, whatever time the state said the polls were closing, that's it. Any ballot voted or, you know, counted after that is vacated. That's it. Those are the only possibilities. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, if they do that with Pennsylvania, they got to do it with all of them. So, you know, it'd be like a Dred Scott decision, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as I say, in Michigan, they did find a judge that's willing to look at, look at the machines and do a forensic, whatever that means, on it. And see what happens. So we'll find out where that goes, if anywhere, even if they found a discrepancy in the machines, whether or not it's enough to overturn things. That'd be another kettle of fish that is going to complicate muddy the water even more. So I don't know. It's going to be, we've got pretty much.
All it has to be is A, it happened, and B, they're counting, and there are, you know, the numbers are getting bigger and bigger, and lo and behold, the legislature meets to vote, you know, elect the electors, and they decide, geez, Trump did win our state. wow, okay, we better give him the elect. That's all that this is, and he may very well accomplish that. We will see. We, you know, mm-hmm. we'll got until the 12th, right? That's, you know, that's the drop. It. You know, that's about, yep. that's when the ballot box dropped to the ground.
Yep, we got 15 there, so. Craig says, Shane, if the Republicans in the legislature throw out democracy is over, throw votes out, democracy is over, and 80 million people will not allow Trump to steal our votes. Well, if the votes were illegal, they're not stolen. You know, if they were legally his to begin with, they're not stolen. So, you know, that's
and why I want to scare that's, those.
What are you scared of? What are you afraid of? Yeah, you're afraid that the things are right? Is that what you're afraid of?
That's right. And there was no ground game for the Democrats. So let's not, you know, quit jerking ourselves off here, Craig. There's no way that, you know, you go from 65 million votes 4 years ago for Hillary to 80 million or something, or 75 million for Biden. There's no way he got 10 million votes. It you know, Craig, if I mean, I'm not even a partisan anymore about this, and you shouldn't be either. You know, there's just that they had to try to figure out how they caught up with the Republicans on their ground game, and the Republican numbers of, you know, of 10 more million people are real. They're actual, Craig. They really went out and knocked on doors and got people out to vote for that. So. Yeah. You can bend it however you want. I don't like it. I like it. I wish it. I don't wish it. The bottom line is that, you know, do legislatures want to make a jump like that? And, you know, it's happened before. It has. Sure. So, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe Trump let read in the history book, or someone was smart enough to tell him. I don't know, because most of the advice he got in this campaign was really bad.
Well, I think so too. He did exactly what I suggested he not do at the rally, was talk about this election more than he talked about the Loeffler and Perdue winning. And that was, you know, I think he should have concentrated more on them and less on himself, but. You know, that's the kind of person he is. So
I'm more inclined to believe that Perdue will win because of his family's history. His father was governor and mm-hmm. now he's the secretary of agriculture and all that good stuff. But this Kelly gal, she really bent a knot around this guy yesterday and he did it to himself. I mean, he basically lied. I mean, you listen to him lie.
Oh yeah.
You know, he tried to make the accusation of her making millions in the market lie. He did the typical African-American Democrat. I was a slave in the field and I was the first of 12 kids to go to college. And she looked into the camera. Hey, I worked in the fields too. I put myself through college, you know, working in as a waitress. And yeah, I got the American dream, and I'm grateful that I had the opportunity. And, you know, so, I mean, all she said was, I'm smart. I made it right. I don't need to hear I came from the con, because I did too. You know, it was a good playoff. And, again, I'm not a partisan. I'm just looking, you know, I did debate and everything in college. And, I liked the format of the debate. It was great. They were asked questions for 15 minutes. They asked each other questions for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then they were asked again for, you know, by people for a half an hour. It was an hour debate. I learned more in that hour of debating than all the other debates I've listened to for the last 2 years. It's a great forum. Yeah,
it really was. Yeah. Yeah. Them asking each other questions really, I think that put it in a real context there. So,
And she was really polite because every time she had an opportunity to respond, you know, she would say, may I respond, please? Like she was like, so she came across as, you know, and then the guy, you know, he throws the privilege card at her after talking about his black privilege. Like, you know, like that I just think that people are tired of all that. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
But I don't see the Democrats most seats. They'll lose. They may take one. I don't know. Yeah. But I could see the people of Georgia putting the vote. No, I'm just saying that's.
Yeah,
that's what I think. We'll see.
That's very possible. Yeah, that they may split it. We'd still give Republicans the edge by 51 to 49.
Yeah.
So that again is pretty close for us. Yeah, as far as that goes. So, the other thing we wanted to talk about too is that they're still trying to come up with a stimulus package. And lawmakers right now are saying no to the you're not going to get $1,200. Lawmakers are closing in on a proposed 19 relief bill that would provide roughly $300 in extra federal weekly unemployment benefits, but not another round of $1,200 direct deposits to Americans. That's an issue that President Joe Biden will have to wrestle with over the new next year. The $908 billion aid package to be released Monday would be attached to a larger year-end spending bill that needed to avert government shutdown this coming weekend. And the $1,200 cash payments were popular when they were first distributed after the pandemic hit, and Biden has expressed hope that a second wave might come with negotiations over the weekend. So maybe they're recanting on giving illegals the $1,200 and also to not bail out the poorly run Democrat cities around the world here, or around the country, I should say. Probably Democrat cities around the world are badly run too. But anyway, we're talking about the USA.
Yeah, well, Pelosi looks like the dopey, you know, scarf loving woman that she is, because of the following, exactly what you said. But there's one other thing. The other thing is wanting to change all the election laws. So there were three things in the $2.1 trillion bill that Pelosi had, was change the elections to where they are now, mail out ballots and all this stuff. No signature guarantee, blah blah blah. Pay illegal aliens $1,200 and then like close to $1 billion to bail out the states. So, you know, Trump offered her $1.8 trillion without those three things. Okay, I'm not going to bail anyone out. I'm not going to pay any illegal immigrants. I'm not changing the election laws, and this is not going to happen on my watch. And now she looks like she's got worse than mud on her face. You know, she has schiff on her face because, the American people got. And again, Kelly Loeffler last night made a really clear about that she did a really good job. She's the first Republican that, when I look at her and the governor of Florida, I can see why the Republicans are in the place they're at, because when you have people that actually speak plainly like Trump, like just tell the truth and explain their position, they're really good. They're good. They sound good and they make sense. So, yeah, you're right. And so now where are they at? Well, now they're whittled down to just around $800-900 million, which is a win for people because it's just to send money to people that are in need in small businesses and individuals. It makes it simple. The system's already in place to do it. And we'll see where to go with it. But it's all a lame duck issue because he's gone if he doesn't turn this around on the 20th. So,
yeah. Well, that would be true. They've got to get something done here. And it's not 100%, but it's certainly 98% that Trump's going to be gone. And giving a relief package isn't a win for Trump. If anything, I would say it's a win for the Democrats. They could certainly promote it that way. And I think they probably will, but they need to do something here with, as you say, with small businesses, because Christmas is coming. We need an economy back. Even though we set records on Black Friday and Cyber Monday on online stuff, I think people are just maxing out credit cards rather than, the money's just not really there So let's hope they're, you know, let's hope they're doing something, anyway. So anyway, so, well, the other, well, go ahead.
Yeah. The other thing you were saying.
Well, I said it, I think.
Okay. Yeah. You're moving on. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. We are going to move on. So, let's see, we'll go up here and, we talked about it briefly, but the Georgia debate last night, quite interesting, as Shane pointed out earlier, that the format was great with the questions back and forth of the candidates. That kind of gotcha debate works, I think. People like that. They like to, the moderators may be biased, and it's obvious the candidates are. So they're going to ask biased questions of their opponent, and that works really well. You know, if you can put somebody on the spot, then that's more impressive than the moderator putting them on the spot or not putting them on the spot.
Well, you know, hardball is a man's game, and in baseball they love it. Softball is a woman's game, and it's the most popular outdoor sport for women in the United States, particularly suburban women, which is why they talk about softball questions in a debate or anyone interviewing them, because they're throwing the softball, you know, to women because they're trying to get their vote. For me, I look at all this now, especially now, they're all wiffle balls. You know, a wiffle ball is what you use with your kid at 3 years old with an oversized bat, and you throw him a wiffle ball, you know, and he clinks it, and there's more noise involved in his excitement because of what he does than what he actually does accomplish. It's very sad. You know, another giveaway about the Democrats knowing they had set this election up to win no matter who was the nominee, is the matter in which they slowly, last 2 months of the campaign, kept talking about certain things a certain way, particularly the pandemic, accusing Trump of failing. He didn't. Accusing him of not getting started earlier. He didn't. You know, accusing him of not getting the vaccination sooner, or we're not going to try it if it's from Trump. And now you're seeing that shift. Here comes the wiffle ball, right? Now the air through it is, oh, Biden saved us all with this vaccine, and oh, he got it all straightened out to be delivered because they didn't have it organized, and they dropped the ball on organizing the delivery of this. I mean, he's going to take credit, which you heard him do a number of times during the election when he did have a news conference or something. I mean, you know, he would say, if I was in charge of the pandemic, and he'd read this list of things, and anyone paying attention is listening to him and going, Trump already did that. But the people that had no idea, because they weren't paying attention, were going, you mean Trump hasn't done that yet? Right? That's what was going on. So that's how the Democrats play this. They're going to take credit. You know, North Korea, any more peace in the Middle East, they'll take credit for. The big one will be, do they start a war? I mean, lots of places right now that could easily explode into a war, as opposed to peace. We'll see. That'll be the big one, because if Biden goes to war anywhere, if Biden sends troops anywhere, if they do something that bad about taxes anywhere, if they do something bad about immigration anywhere, really all the major topics and the Middle East, if he ruins the peace in the Middle East, anything like any of those five things, and he's gone, Kamala's gone, I don't care if they replace him with her or Nance, it doesn't matter. They're gone. They're just going to be gone, because, yeah, it'll be no Democrats going to go out. No Democrats going to go out and vote next time, because it'll be like, what a mess. What a mess.
Well, we'll see. Obviously, prosperity didn't turn out Republicans to vote for Trump. So, you know, what can I tell you? You know, he ended wars.
Yes, they did.
Well,
75 million. He got 12 million more votes than the last time he ran.
I understand
there's not one instance of No, wait. There's not one instance of irregular or unintentional vote going to Trump. Not one. The Democrats have not claimed there's been any fraud on the part of anybody in your country getting Trump getting a vote from someone he shouldn't have. Not one claim. So that's 12 million. Pal, come on. That's 20% more. I mean, 20% increase in the number of people that voted for him.
Let me finish here. Let me finish up here. So on this one, we got more votes because we had mail-in ballots. I mean, that's just obvious. People didn't have to go wait in line. They filled out mail-in ballots, sent them in. Whether they were legit or not, it's a whole other story. No.
Yes, 38%.
We had a much higher turnout than we've had in recent elections for a long, long time. Just like Hillary, Trump got votes in the wrong place. You know, he didn't get them in Pennsylvania. He didn't get them in Wisconsin. He didn't get them in Ohio or in Michigan.
You're not paying attention.
Or Pennsylvania.
Pay attention, Tom.
I'm paying attention.
Biden's got 306, the exact same votes Trump got 4 years ago because Michigan was gone. Wisconsin or Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Nevada. Okay, that's basically it. Okay, so it's not that he didn't get more. He got more votes in those places. I mean, they've shown you the statistics. I mean, you know, Biden beat Obama and numbers in his districts. I mean, he beat Hillary. You know, of the 16 key districts in your country that are required to win the presidency, Trump took 15. So this is not about him getting not enough votes in any place. They only picked five places to cheat in. That's all they needed. And they had control over all five places. So,
well, if they cheated, then that's a whole nother story. But I don't think they're going to be able to prove that before the electors are seated.
It doesn't matter. I, like 75 million Americans, can see, and we can watch, and we can listen, we can pay attention. Yeah. Okay, and I guarantee you, they pay a lot more attention than Democrats do, because Democrats just hate Trump. That's all they know. They don't know anything about policy. They don't know anything about their country. They don't, they vote for the same. No one has to have tails, okay? Nobody. They just vote Democrat. You can't look at the numbers. You can't look at the case. You can't look at the complaints. The Democrats that have come forward, I mean, Democrats, clearly Democrats. It's very sad, but, that's what happens. That's what happens in a collapsing republic. And, you may be at the very beginning or in the middle of the collapse of your republic, We'll see. Yeah. It took 400 years for Rome to collapse. I don't think 400 years for the Republic to collapse, but we'll see.
Well, I don't know. But whatever comes out of this, whether there was cheating, whether there wasn't, it's still put a real stain and a lack of confidence in those of us who vote. That does our vote really count? Was there cheating? Was there impropriety?
Cheating. You keep doing this. You don't want to narrow it to what's happened. And you keep doing this, and you're doing a disservice to everyone. Every politician, everyone involved in every election in practically every state in your country has said, yes, there's cheating. Yes, there's dead people voting, people that shouldn't out of state. There isn't a politician in the five key states. They've all the people involved in the election. Yes, there was cheating, but it's not a big enough margin, to change the election. Really? That's your opinion? Not very often, except maybe a serial killer gets up and says, I killed them all. Because now I want to write a book from prison. Come on, Tom. Pretty well see what's happened here. There was cheating. There was irregularities. There was bad recounts. bad equipment, and everything was utilized and understood that way. And they did it intentionally, and they, you know, they being the Democrats, and, you know, the more chaos you can create, look at the, look at what the result is. I mean, you know, you steal an election. Mm-hmm. And yeah. No matter what you might see, you should go read foreign newspapers in France, in Italy, in England, in South America, Paraguay, Uruguay, in Australia, New Zealand, even Africa, South Africa, certainly not China because they want Biden in, but Taiwan and Hong Kong. These people are all, you know, it's like a 9/11 for them. Because in the context of this is a worse attack on America than that, and because this one could take the country down, not just a building or two buildings. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No. This is it's a sad event. It's a very sad event.
Yeah. Well, this just in: Joe Biden wins Georgia for at least the fourth time. Secretary of State to recertify Donald Trump's defeat after a count, two recounts. And a first certification. So apparently he has lost Georgia. So kind of a done deal, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, so, yeah. I don't know that his path is getting narrower and narrower. You know, if they're going to certify Georgia, that's one he desperately needed.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I look after. I went, you know, after what happened in Nevada last week, I'm not at all surprised. So it's,
yeah,
you know, when you catalog and you specifically provide to a judge 78,000 individuals, their names, their addresses, where they came from, how they voted, and you know, you put it right in front of them to show them that these should be vacated, these votes. Because they were all illegal. Every one of them was illegal, and it would have changed the election in the back. And he goes, yeah, I don't think so. And besides, yeah. The Supreme Court has already certified it. And the Supreme Court the state has no involvement in certification of anything.
Yeah.
You know, but so, they did that because it was a Democratic state to put a wall up. I mean, we'll see how it ends up. We'll see what happens as you move forward.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's gonna be, you know, yeah. Well, time is running out because they seat on what, the 15th. So we got 8 days to go before the electoral votes are certified and voted and whatever.
They're certified by the states by the 14th. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they vote on the 15th, I think, or whatever.
The 6th. January, in a joint session of Congress, the envelopes will be opened by the President of the Senate, Vice President Pence, and the Senate will either accept the votes or not, and then that's it.
Yeah. No, I think we'll see. So, well, anyway, if Joe Biden is elected, then Donald Trump's going to hold a rally at the same time that Joe is sworn in. So I don't know if that's he's going to announce 2024 run, I guess. Whether he will run or not, I don't know. But I guess we'll find out. He'll be pretty old.
He won't be attending the inauguration, Trump.
No, he'll be holding a rally in Florida, I believe. At the same time.
Oh, you think he will be? You think he will be?
That's what they said today. That's what they said today. He's got a rally plan in Florida for the same time that Biden's going to be sworn in. So it may be a split screen.
Well, you
may see Biden taking the oath and Trump saying, I'm going to run in 2024.
Yeah, I mean, the media will be so happy to hear that because, you know, you know, if Trump is going to do this, he should pardon himself and all of his family. I'm telling you, unless he doesn't. No, but maybe he doesn't care spending $100 million in legal fees for the next 4 years. I mean, he maybe he doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Radio is getting big bucks per day from somebody. So I don't know. But yeah, it's well, if he does decide the campaign, to run, yeah.
His campaign's already raised over $176 million. So
yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
he's right. He's,
yeah. Yeah, if he decides to announce that, then he's going to be in the news for the next 4 years, commenting on everything that Biden does.
Well, come on, Tom. What few? You know, I mean, this has been Biden. Let me try and see if I can do this. I'm trying to read what it says here. Well, maybe we'll have we have some good ideas and a diversification, very diversified, and yes, but we'll have a diversified cabinet, and I'm gonna have four white men, or I mean, four men, and I'm gonna have women and more women than come on.
Yeah, really? I know. That's what I'm saying. Trump's going to be at the forefront of talking about that every time Biden makes some kind of public appearance. Trump is going to be right there to say, look, dummies, look who you voted for. I think that's exactly.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Ma and Pa Kettle are going to turn the minute they hear that there's a Biden news conference or an interview. They're going to change the channel. Mm-hmm. I mean, it won't even be a hard choice. This is a choice they've already made just because of what they've seen. I mean, people might see him once. But I don't think I really don't think you'll ever, ever see Biden in a news conference. Won't happen. He will not ever do in the.
No, I don't think they'll let him anywhere near that. The big danger, the big danger is going to be the State of the Union. He can't ad lib anything.
Thank God for COVID. He's got to extend it because otherwise people want to shake his hand and his arm might come off. You know, that's how bad it is. He's got to walk down that aisle somehow to get to that, you know. To get up there to talk. I mean, can you imagine what that's going to look like? Oh my gosh. I don't know. His sister and his wife will both be in arm in arm with him. That'll be what they'll walk him down arm.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is he'll know everybody there. He's been there for 47 years. So everybody will want his autograph and everything that didn't before. So
I just hope. He hands it to Nancy Pelosi in half, in the envelope. Save some time.
Maybe if McConnell's, they have the House and the Senate both there, don't they?
The Vice President.
Yeah, it'll be Camilla
and Pelosi.
And Pelosi. Yeah, so neither one of them are going to tear up the speech, I don't think.
It was a joke, Tom. It was a joke.
I know it was a joke.
No, it was a joke.
I know it was a joke. All right, let's see. Where do we leave off here? Let's see. Well, we got to talk about schools. Failing grades because nobody, they're turning on their classroom and then they're going out to play with their friends or go to the mall or whatever. They're not sitting there in front of the computer learning. So we got all kinds of failing grades going on here. That's going to really, really be a disaster for some of these kids that are trying to, get into college or, whatever, establish a level of work. So, I don't know. These guys won't let them go back to school. Stupid.
This is another great example of Craig's loving party, and all the Democrats that are out there. You know, the only people that benefit from this whole coronavirus with that regard to education are the educators. They're all getting paid. They're still on the payroll. They're not teaching. They're not sitting in the offices administrating, but they're all getting paid. And they're all getting paid by people that can't afford to pay their taxes, can't pay their mortgage, can't feed their kids. You know, we have to work maybe two jobs, maybe if they're single, two or three jobs if they're a couple trying to raise children and, you know, develop or create an American dream. So hats off to the Democrats and the teachers union and their shift attitude about children because they don't care. We've known this now because we saw what happened in the summer of nightmares in the, this year. And, you know, all millennials and the likes who've, you know, come out of high school and college in the last 15, 20 years. And the education they've got was burn it down. It's terrible. It's privileged. We don't want to have anything to do with it. Call them Kaepernick, Camilla, Harris, you know, all from privileged white backgrounds or privileged mixed backgrounds. So here it comes, folks. Happy you've gotten it. Happy you're enjoying it. Happy you voted for it. And now guess what? We'll see the rewards that you get, you know, for all these things. It's commentary. It's reality. That's what's going to happen out there. I don't know how they're going to report it because how do you report the demise of something that you know you're participating in? I mean, you know, it's just a remarkable thing to see. I mean, you have this beautiful thing. Everybody in the world wants it, and you know you're sitting there, you know, with this, you know, monocle in your eye, you know, and a little chisel. And you're banging it. You're not trying to chip something new in there. You're just banging it. And, you know, when it comes apart, you know, you'll be glad that all the toilet paper you bought a year ago for 10 years, you did, because there won't be any. There won't be any.
You may be right about that. As you remember, Shane, we got a call from a teacher Saturday on our radio show. In her particular town, the schools are open and they're doing quite well. They don't have a outbreak of virus or anything like that. So it can be done. And we just don't know why they're doing it. I think at last count, there's 123 people who have died from COVID that are under 20. This is, I went to school before we had a measles vaccine. We all got measles. We all went home for a few days and we came back, you know, or we got chicken pox, you know, and we went home and came back or we got mumps or whatever it was, all these things before we had vaccines for all these things. These kids are, you know, they're going to survive. I don't think I didn't go home and give measles to my brother and sister, I don't think, or they didn't give it to me. So, you know, you get it one way or another, you know, so.
Yeah, and back in the 60s when I got the measles and my grandparents were taking care of us and I, you know, I was being emotional or baby face, you know, like Lala, baby Lala is what my grandmother called us when we were being too babyish. But my grandfather grabbed me by the arm and took me out to his Cadillac. You know, had one of those great big 56 Cadillacs with the, you know, the big wings on, or the big points on the end.
Yeah, the big
fans. God, I love
it. Pointed taillights. Yeah, you got one of those.
Like a submarine going through the wall, you know, down the road. Yeah. Anyway, and he drove me downtown to the hospital. And he went in and he said to... You know, I'm standing there. I was like 5-6 years old. And he said, can you point me in the direction of a heart and lung machine? And the woman said, the receptionist said, maybe. Anyway, after a few minutes, she came back and said, well, apparently there is one downstairs. And, you know, a doctor comes through in a white coat and he says, what's going on? He says, well, he's got the chicken pox and he's complaining about it. I wanted to show him a heart lung machine. oh yeah, that's a great idea. So he took, you know, and went down and turned the light on, and it was all dusty and everything. And, you know, the doctor explained to me what it was and how, you know, if you had polio, how you, kids my age had to be put in one of these so they could breathe.
Yeah.
And it was a giant respirator. Basically, mm-hmm. it was a giant respirator.
Yeah.
And the reason I make mention this story is that, you know, 98.98% under 50 are going to have no noticeable effect or detrimental effect from this virus.
Mm-hmm.
That's the science. I mean, that's what they've learned in the last year. So there's something terribly wrong here.
Yeah.
There really is. Well, I mean, there's something terribly wrong.
Well, you know, there's all these unintended consequences. Obviously, if the kids of a certain age are home, somebody's got to be there to take care of certain ages. You know, you can't leave a 6 or 7 year old home alone all day long while you go to work. You know, that's just not, this was that a, just won't work. You know, so you got to stay there. Yeah.
No, this is the 1960 atomic nuclear family. Dad only worked. Okay. My mom. There were 5 kids and she was home taking care of us.
Yeah.
And my mother never worked until after she divorced my father. And then she had to work as a saleswoman in a clothing store. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then she found another man to marry and never worked again. So,
yeah. Well, that's the thing. Unfortunately, now women have to work. Otherwise, you're not going to get Medicare if you don't work. So, you know,
you know, 50% of marriages in your country end in divorce. Of course, women have to work because they're single mothers, and most men don't make enough money to really provide enough alimony to even support the family. And even if they're ordered to, they don't. They just move to another state.
Yeah,
and you know, it's not a criminal issue. It's a civil one, and the mother, she can't afford lawyers to go after him because she's trying to feed her children. You know, and not live in a car. So, it's a mess. So,
Well, the 50% divorce rate is not accurate. So, we'll leave that for another time.
It's 50% because less than 35% of people in your country get married anymore. So,
Well, it's not half of the people in the United States get divorced every year. I mean, that's
not what I said.
Well, I said
half.
50% get divorced.
No, 50% of all marriages in your country end in divorce. And less than 35% of the new generation is getting married. So there you go. Numbers are terrible.
Okay. Well,
you're losing the nuclear family.
They're not.
The nuclear plant. Yeah, it is. The nuclear family is disappearing, and you're ending up with single moms or remarriages with kids that from previous marriages and so forth. And it's a real mess. Yeah,
yeah, but it's not.
It's 50%. A culture mess.
But it's not 50%. All right. Let's see. The Bank Association thinks bank tellers should be at the front line in getting the vaccine. Shane, what do you think? You gotta be able to bank, you know, you gotta be able to deposit your paycheck. You gotta be able to, put your money in the bank and, whatever you have to do at a bank, we all have to do something there. So, the Bank Association says, hey, bank tellers need to be at the front of the line.
Again, a joke. The banking industry 40 years ago went from one of the top service oriented businesses in your country to less than 20% of the workforce it was 50 years ago. With banking and online banking and so forth, you don't need tellers. Tellers are basically for specific issues that you have, like foreign currency transactions. Or business transactions where you bring your business deposit book in and you got, 20 checks and, you don't want to sit at a bank machine, punch in 20 checks. So, you go in and give the 20 checks to the teller and she runs it through her machine and so forth. So
it's 9 o'clock.
Oh, sorry about that. So, this is a joke. One of the reasons banks are so profitable is, you know, their manual labor has dropped like 60% in the last 40 years because of technology. So I don't know what, you know, so they make that comment, big deal. They're under 50. Here we go again. Really?
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, our banks have closed their lobbies. You can only go through the drive-through. So if you need a cashier's check or, you know, as you say, make a business deposit or whatever, you know, you're going to have to wait in a line of cars to do it. And not that that's a bad thing, but you're right. A number of tellers they've got to have to do these things. You know, so, you know, that's how it works. So,
yeah, well, our bank lobbies were closed from April until October, and they're back open again. And it's regular banking with a mask. Yeah.
You gotta, yeah. Mask and plastic from head to toe or whatever, I guess. So anyway.
Oh, I just bubble wrap myself. You know, I figure I like looking. Anybody asks me what am I wearing, I'm saying I work for SpaceX. You know, this is this is the new astronaut's uniform. So you know, it's good. Yeah. I'm good to go now.
Yeah. So yeah. There you are.
I'm in a bubble, so everyone can be happy.
Sounds good to me. All right. We're out of time. We need to remind you that we're here every weekday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. So please tell your friends, have them join in with us. We're on Facebook Live and YouTube Live every weekday at this time. And we're also on radio on Saturday. You can listen to us anywhere in the world at KMMSAM.com. No need to sign up. No need to leave any information of any kind. All you do is click listen now and listen. You can call us. You can text us. You can do all sorts of things. And also, we're on YouTube Live every weekday at 9 a.m. So tell your friends about that. Be sure you subscribe and like us. Past shows are at KMMSAM.com. Click on Tom and Shane's podcast over there, and you'll be taken right over to our past shows. Over 6,000 downloads of our shows, Shane, over 6,000. We're almost at 6,100, in fact. So, yeah. And if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe. Ring the little notification bell that will let you know when we're on again. And like us and comment on our podcast. And please share that with your friends. And say goodbye, Shane.
I will indeed. Everyone be happy, be safe, live in the moment, live to work, come home happy for your family, because that's what they want to see, a happy parent. And God bless all of us that here in North America, the United States and Canada. And we're grateful that we are able to live in the two greatest country clubs in the world. So take care, Eagle Man.
All right.
See you tomorrow and talk then.
Thanks for listening and watching, everyone. We appreciate it very much. And we'll be back tomorrow, as we mentioned before. And don't forget, today is December 7th, 1941, a day we should not forget, even though it was many, many years ago. But we still need to remember that day. So while you're out roaming around today, just appreciate our military a little bit. And go for that. So, all right, we'll see everybody tomorrow, 9 a.m.